begin with developing news. A wild series of events on the border of Toronto and Vaughan. A crash, confrontation, and shots fired. A wide-ranging investigation now spanning a large crime scene. Good evening. This is still an active story, and in just the last few moments, we have learned one person has died.
The chaos breaking out in the mid-afternoon near a construction zone. CTV's Janice Golding is live at the scene on Steeles west of Dufferin. Janice.
Hi, Zarada. We just got an update from the inspector on scene. He has confirmed that the shooting victim in this case has died of his injuries. He said that he had sustained gunshot wounds to the lower body. We knew his injuries were serious, given one of the eyewitnesses on scene had told us that the man was screaming, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Now, police say they are looking into whether or not this was the result of a carjacking. They haven't confirmed that at this point. However, they will say that the black pickup behind us here was a stolen vehicle, and there may be two crime scenes or more involved. Medical detritus litters the road. Behind it, a black pickup truck with pylons crushed beneath it is lodged against the side of a cube van. And in the midst of it all, you can see a handgun with a magazine beside it.
Well, the one guy on the ground that got shot was very, very injured.
Jessica says she was driving eastbound on Steeles Avenue approaching Alna Street around 1:20 p.m. when she saw an unbelievable sight unfold.
A pickup truck came speeding by the construction workers, drove into the pylons, hit multiple construction workers, dove into the side of the bridge there where the railing is, and then slammed into the cube van.
Jessica says she narrowly missed being struck by the pickup's driver herself.
I thought he was a drunk driver or a construction worker going into the site until I seen how fast he was going, because you don't go 80 kilometers into a construction site head on.
After the pickup crashed into the cube van, Jessica says she saw several construction workers drag its driver out of the vehicle, and then he pulled a gun.
And then shot the construction worker three times and was pinned down. I thought that he escaped until one of the gentlemen that was working was like, "No, we have the until the cops come."
When police arrived on scene, they found a man suffering from life-threatening gunshot wounds. He was taken to a trauma center. Another man was also taken to hospital.
Adult. Was transported by emergency run to a local trauma center, but has tragically been pronounced deceased since then, and this is now a homicide investigation. Our officers are currently processing and photographing the scene. There is an added complexity to this, and based on interactions with the police and the suspect, the SIU has been contacted in cooperation between the Toronto Police and York Region.
In the meantime, a German Shepherd who is believed to have been in the pickup has been taken by Animal Services. Now, police say they believe that dog actually belonged to the driver of that pickup. And as you heard, the SIU has been contacted. We do not know if they've invoked their mandate at this point. Now, initially, we had heard that there were three victims in this case. However, police have just confirmed there were two men taken to hospital. One, of course, as you've learned, has lost his life to his injuries. Now, anyone with any dash cam or surveillance video is asked to contact police as soon as they can. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Zoraida.
Thank you, Janice. Next to some more developing news of the political kind, Queen's Park will stay silent longer than anticipated. The Ford government moving to prorogue the legislature. MPPs will now be back in their seats after the federal election.
Critics calling the delay an abdication of responsibility as the province fights a fourth wave of COVID-19. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Well, Michelle, Premier Doug Ford has called this an unnecessary federal election in the middle of the fourth wave of COVID-19. Still, the Premier has been trying to keep a low profile before the September 20th vote. MPPs were scheduled to return here in about a week and a half, but that date has now been postponed as the Premier tries to steer clear of controversy.
With the federal leaders on the campaign trail, Premier Doug Ford and his government have gone to ground.
The Premier's been very consistent on this. We do not want to engage in the federal election.
Today, the government announced it's proroguing the Ontario legislature. Instead of returning to Queen's Park on September 13th, MPPs are going to take an extended break and only return on October 4th.
We'll have a throne speech. There will be a continued vigorous session of Parliament.
The government acknowledges the reasons are directly tied to the federal election campaign and a desire to stay out of the way.
I think it's just prudent for us to take a pause, see what comes out of the federal election and how that will impact our agenda going forward.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. In fact, I think it's dishonest. What the government suddenly figured out, Doug Ford has suddenly become aware that there's a federal election on.
The suspension of the legislature comes amid growing concern of the fourth wave of COVID-19. The government introduced a vaccine certificate to be enforced on September 22nd. But thousands of people and business owners have joined a Facebook group vowing not to implement vaccine passports. One of them, the owner of a GTA area restaurant who didn't want to be named, fearing harassment, explained her reasons.
The government wants us to, but I'm not going to ask people if they've been vaccinated or not. That is none of my business. People have a lot of medical exemptions and they have a lot of medical restrictions where they're not able to get vaccines. And people have the choice of their own body to do what they wish. And that's nothing for us.
That's why critics say the government needs to work on fine-tuning the passport program.
And I can tell you, when I've met with diverse stakeholders, they've said we need a simple, clear, consistent program across the province. And the premier needs to answer those questions.
Opposition MPPs say the legislature is the most appropriate place to raise these issues, but they can't until October.
Being held to account is important to you and the premier. How exactly in the month of September is the opposition going to be able to hold the Ford government to account?
The only way of holding government accountable is not just through the Legislative Assembly, and certainly not just through the 40 or the 1 hour of question period a day.
The government says their critics can hold news conferences to voice their displeasure.
The government says when MPPs return to Queen's Park, there is going to be a throne speech and a new legislative agenda for the Ford government. They say they are going to make up the 10 days of lost time at the legislature, but they will do it by holding late night sittings here at Queen's Park. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. On the vaccination front, across Ontario, more than 83.3% of eligible people have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And more than 76.7% of eligible Ontarians are double dosed. That represents 10 million people in this province.
And tonight, there is more evidence the looming introduction of a vaccine certificate is motivating many to finally book their appointments. CTV's Natalie Johnson is live with more. Natalie.
Well, Zoraida, the vaccine certificate system was introduced in a bid to boost immunization levels in this province. And already, the number of first shots being given in a day is higher than it's been in the last 2 months.
If you have any of these symptoms, take Advil or Tylenol, okay?
Inside the Downsview Arena Vaccination Clinic, there has been a recent shift in shots. Since the government announced that vaccine certificates would soon be implemented in this province, nearly half of the people stopping in are here for their first dose.
We knew there was going to be a jump. We didn't expect that much of a jump. We were doing about 30% first dosers even before the announcements came. For it to jump up to 48, that's a significant increase.
The proof of immunization plan will take effect September 22nd, requiring Ontarians to be fully vaccinated to participate in non-essential services like gyms, indoor dining, and theaters. Just the nudge needed by some of the people here today.
Now it's mandatory, so I kind of decided just to get a jump at it.
It's going to be mandatory, right?
Province-wide, nearly half of the almost 44,000 doses administered yesterday were first shots. The last time that many first doses were given was in early July.
Hi there.
Rosie Oliveira became a first doser today after many months of watching and waiting.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I don't like vaccines, and I just wasn't 100% sure this vaccine was going to be what was going to get us out.
Some of those individuals just aren't going to get vaccinated no matter what, no matter reason, logic, science. There's just always going to be a percentage of people that will not get vaccinated, and a lot of that is just very likely driven by misinformation.
Meanwhile, a new Léger poll has found that 80% of Canadians support the introduction of a vaccine passport in their province. The other 20% are either somewhat or strongly opposed.
People can choose not to get vaccinated. But like many choices people make in life, they have to understand there's a consequence to that. And that's a consequence that's been agreed upon by our duly elected government in Ontario. And I support that.
There will be medical exemptions granted in rare circumstances. The Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons warning doctors, though, to only grant those notes on very narrow grounds.
And experts say there are very few medical circumstances that officially allow for a medical exemption to the COVID-19 vaccine. They may include, for example, a previous allergic reaction to an mRNA shot. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Back to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Meanwhile, our online team has more information on the approved medical exemptions in Ontario. Multi-platform writer Hannah Alberga has those details at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Turning to the newest case count in this province, Public Health Ontario logging 807 new cases in its most recent update. 628 of those people are either not fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. More than 28,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 3.2%.
Here's the situation in intensive care. There are 169 patients with COVID-19 in Ontario ICUs. That's an increase of 7 from yesterday. 103 of those people are unvaccinated, 8 are partially dosed, and 12 are fully vaccinated.
738 more COVID-19 cases are now resolved. That raises the figure to more than 552,000 over the course of the pandemic. 6 more deaths are linked to the virus, although the province notes 3 of those deaths occurred more than a week ago. 9,536 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Here's tonight's regional breakdown with 175 new cases in the city of Toronto, 136 in Peel region. There are 85 new cases in York region, 50 in Durham, and 46 in Hamilton. Niagara logged 28 new cases with 22 in Halton. Federal health officials are sharing new modeling, painting a concerning picture for the country's virus situation.
If transmission levels don't drop, Canada could see its highest case counts of the pandemic this fall. But experts say that's not inevitable.
If you want to avoid what we experienced in a second or third wave, especially with all of us, you know, going back inside, you know, with the fall and school and the colder weather, let's get our vaccination rates up. You know, we have that window of opportunity. It's never too late, but let's get going.
The modeling shows Canada could see more than 15,000 daily cases by next month if people don't reduce their contacts. Dr. Teresa Tam is specifically urging those aged 18 to 39 to step up and get vaccinated as they lag behind other age groups. But she says booster doses for the general public aren't on the table just yet.
Based on the information we have at hand in Canada, we're not seeing a lot of breakthrough infections. And infections aside, vaccines are really extraordinarily effective, even against hospitalizations by the Delta variant.
The National Advisory Committee on Immunizations is considering third doses for some people with weakened immune systems and long-term care residents. Ontario is already administering those. Dr. Tam says the priority right now needs to be getting more people their first and second shots.
Meanwhile, Alberta's premier is now trying a new tactic to get remaining residents immunized.
If you are unvaccinated, it is urgent that you protect yourself, our hospitals, and our entire community by getting the benefit of this miracle of modern medicine as soon as possible.
Alberta will now pay unvaccinated residents $100 to get their COVID-19 shots. 70% of eligible Albertans are fully vaccinated. The province saw more than 1,300 new cases Thursday, and masks will once again be required indoors starting tomorrow.
Just ahead, the housing frenzy may be cooling down, but the demand for a home in the GTA appears to be getting hotter. Why buyers may be in for a tough time finding property this fall.
We have arrived at the final long weekend of the summer, and there is some nice weather ahead. Michelle Jobin is here. What can we expect when we step outside tonight?
Well, Michelle, a really pleasant night to kick off the long weekend. We are looking at seasonal temperatures, and you might have remembered yesterday being a little bit on the breezy side at times. Winds out of the north, 40 kilometers an hour. Right now, just 9 kilometers an hour out of the north. So that is much more pleasant. It's not going to feel as cool as it did yesterday. Right now, we're sitting at 21 in Peterborough, 20 if you're in Uxbridge, 21 in Cambridge. And looking around the region, not much to show you on satellite imagery, except a little bit further to the west, and I'll talk about that coming up, which what it means for your Saturday night and your Sunday morning. But all in all, we're looking at very pleasant conditions, 21 degrees at Pearson or at the islands right now, overnight low of 14, which is seasonal, so very nice. I'll have your full 7-day forecast coming up. Zoraida?
Thanks, Michelle. A second suspect has now been identified in a man's killing near Woodbine and Danforth last month. Police say 77-year-old John Mannion was involved in an argument outside an establishment on August 6th when he was knocked to the ground and he died in hospital on Sunday. Investigators now say 28-year-old Tyler George is wanted for one count of manslaughter. 41-year-old Arya Duffy is also being sought in the case on the same charge.
A heartbreaking update from York Regional Police today. A child who was hit by a vehicle in Vaughan earlier this week has died in hospital. It happened Wednesday morning on Pleasant Ridge Avenue. Police say the 10-year-old girl was riding her bike near a community center when she was hit by an SUV. No charges have been laid at this point. Police are asking any witnesses or people with dash camera footage of the area to contact them.
Coming up, there may have been no knockout punches, but as the federal party leaders squared off in Montreal, did any of them manage to move the needle? A debrief on last night's debate and where the campaign goes from here.
It is a dream slipping out of reach for more and more people here in the GTA.
We're talking about home ownership. New figures are magnifying what many already know. There is an affordability crisis. CTV's Mike Walker is live with more. Mike.
Well, Zaretta, the average price of a home continues to climb despite new listings being at the lowest level for the past decade. Industry experts say it's a case of supply not keeping pace with demand.
The real estate buying frenzy in the GTA has cooled down, but a drop in inventory is causing more headaches for buyers.
Very frustrating. Very discouraging.
For Juliana Lint, it's been a six-month-long search.
Even before I got to see the houses, they were sold.
And the market is only getting tighter. According to the latest numbers from the Toronto Regional Real Estate Board, just under 8,600 properties were sold last month, down nearly 20% from the same time last year. And the number of new listings on the market falling to just over 10,600, down 43%. Listings haven't been that low in a decade, a case of supply not keeping pace with demand.
And so over time, market conditions have become tighter and tighter with the population growing and these people looking to purchase a home. And so the result is that there's more competition between these would-be home buyers and strong upward pressure on home prices.
The average home sale price in the region was around $1,071,000, up by more than 12% compared to a year ago.
But you're not getting any price relief for home buyers. So it's this really sort of intense situation for a young home buyer to try to break into the Toronto market. There's no supply, at least not enough supply to meet the demand. So that's not a recipe for good things going forward if you want prices to calm down.
Industry experts calling the low inventory alarming.
It's a vicious circle.
Realtor Chantel Valancourt works specifically with buyers.
The folks who do want to sell their property, many cases, they have to wait to buy. And so, yes, there is an amount of inventory that's on standby.
An issue front and center in the federal election campaign, with the party leaders pitching a number of measures on housing affordability.
We need to see a way, number one, to streamline the development approvals process to get more homes online quicker. What we also need to see, though, is a greater diversity of home types.
As for Lynn, she is now settling in her new home,
which was also pretty much above asked. It's just the market we're in.
The real estate board not anticipating any price relief in the near future, with the market expected to continue to favor sellers.
Now, looking ahead to the fall and the new year, the real estate board expects market conditions to become even tighter as the population in the region trends back to pre-COVID-19 levels. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. And you can take a look at those numbers for yourself on our website. We have them posted at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
In the northeastern U.S., officials say more than 45 people have died due to the remnants of Hurricane Ida.
Parts of New York City saw more than 200 millimeters of rainfall in just 1 hour. CTV's Todd Battis is there with the latest on recovery efforts.
Traffic moving relatively freely in this part of Brooklyn where we are. And we're here because this was the area that got intense flooding a couple of days ago when the remnants of Ida came through. You know, the sewer systems here are only built to withstand a certain amount of rainfall. That's about 1.3, 1.7 inches an hour. They far surpass that, as many as 4 inches an hour fell. So, of course, there was nowhere for the water to go but up. and a lot of that water filled basements. Of course, you've heard, likely heard about the deaths of people in their own homes in those basements. They just couldn't get out, and help couldn't get to them on time. The deaths included a two-year-old infant. The governor of New Jersey has raised the death count in that state and says that there are several people still missing. Now, fire crews, emergency outfits are going door to door in some places. There are entire communities that were flooded and emergency services weren't able to get to them. We saw the pictures of homes that caught fire, even though they were flooded. And of course, trucks couldn't get there to put them out because of the high water. There's other spots in New Jersey that were hit by as many as 7 recorded tornadoes. Homes absolutely obliterated. These are the remnants of what was a hurricane as far south as Philadelphia. Intense flooding has shut down important infrastructure, including highways. The subway system, the largest in America, is here in New York City. They're still working on the tracks in parts of places here.
Todd Battis, CTV News.
Also south of the border, plans to roll out a COVID-19 booster shot to the general public could be delayed. The New York Times reports regulators at the Food and Drug Administration are asking for more time to assess the data on additional doses. But U.S. health officials are pointing to studies out of Israel, where boosters are on offer to everyone above 12. They're showing a clear drop in new COVID infections after a third shot.
And if it is durable, then you're going to have very likely a 3-dose regimen being the routine regimen.
U.S. President Joe Biden had announced a plan to get Pfizer boosters into arms as early as this month. After news that regulators are still looking at the data, the White House told the New York Times it will follow the science and wait on that approval.
It's about to become much easier for international travelers coming to Canada. Since August 9th, fully vaccinated Americans have been able to skip quarantine on arrival. And starting on Tuesday, those same rules will apply to visitors from all countries. Pre-arrival tests will still be required, and at least 2 weeks must have passed since the traveler's final required dose of a vaccine approved by Health Canada. 4 of the main federal party leaders took the stage for the French language debate last night. They'll be back next week for 2 more face-offs, joined by the Green Party leader.
Until then, they're working to gain voter support on the campaign trail. CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver has more.
After a fierce and fiery French debate, the federal party leaders are out of the studio and back on the road. Like he did during the 2019 campaign, Jagmeet Singh today unveiled an NDP platform just for Quebec. It pledges to launch a Quebec City-Windsor high-speed rail project within 100 days, increase immigration transfers to the Quebec government by $73 million a year, and to build 110,000 social and affordable homes in Quebec within 10 years.
Of course, our values haven't changed. We still believe in the unique identity of Quebec and want to defend that.
In Montreal, the Conservative leader focused on tackling gang violence, promising to implement tougher laws to crack down on the import of illegal guns and to create a gang exit strategy with private sector partners. But Erin O'Toole was also asked to clarify an apparent contradiction of his party's position on assault weapons.
In the debate last night, you said you will maintain a ban on assault weapons, but your platform says you will also repeal an assault-style firearms ban brought in last year. So which is it?
We will maintain the ban on assault weapons.
Emphasizing the importance of mandatory vaccines, especially among travelers, the Liberal leader took a shot at his main competitor.
Even as anti-vaxxers harass frontline healthcare workers, Erin O'Toole still won't even make sure his own candidates are vaccinated.
Campaigning in Toronto, the Green Party leader called for the creation of a national database to track the use of force by police.
The use of force against Black and Indigenous people in Canada is something that is disproportionate, and it is something that is ongoing.
The campaign has now passed the halfway mark, and a new Nanos poll out today shows 3/4 of Canadians do not believe this election was necessary. Annie Bergeron-Oliver, CTV News, Ottawa.
And on this day after the debate, let's check in with political analyst Jim Warren. Jim, what struck you about the back and forths last night and where things stand now with less than 2.5 weeks to go to the big day?
Well, I always say, debates, you can't win elections during debates, but you can lose them. And so in 2019, Andrew Scheer went into debate and basically went straight down in the polls afterwards and ultimately didn't win the election. So I think the importance last night for Aaron O'Toole was not to make an unforced error. The issue around gun control is going to dog him today, but I don't think he made a really big screw up. Justin Trudeau seemed to find his footing last night. You saw a little bit more of campaign Justin Trudeau, and many of the pundits saw him as the winner last night. But of course, it's going to be interesting to see how Mr. Blanchet, how the Bloc does in this election, and because it takes those votes away from Liberals. And the interesting question is, if people don't go and stay with the Bloc, where will they go? Will they go to the Conservatives or the NDP? Of course, the NDP were also big losers in Quebec last time. So interesting to have them all in the same room. I think Justin Trudeau got his mojo back, but I don't see any big shift in the campaign as a result of the debate last night.
Well, there's only so much time left. Are you foreseeing maybe a shift in strategy? What do you think might be happening in the crucial weeks ahead?
Well, the English debate is going to dictate a lot of what happens in Ontario. It'll be interesting to see if Trudeau can get his message back more on his accomplishments of what he did and the things he wants to do and to deserve to get reelected. Again, a lot of this, the questioning and where Trudeau was dogged last night, I expect him to be dogged in the English debate, was why call the election now in the middle of the pandemic? And I think he struggled to be able to give a very convincing answer why that's the case. Of course, with Labor Day coming on Monday, kids going back to school, if COVID cases start to spike, it could refocus people's minds on COVID and their immediate short-term health fears. And so I think that is going to be interesting to see. Again, COVID is so unpredictable. The pandemic is unpredictable. I think anything can happen in the last 2 weeks of the campaign.
And to that point, why call one now? At this stage in the game, and I know you've been watching poll numbers, do you think it was a good idea to call an election?
I don't. I think it was a big mistake. Even if he's able to somehow eke out another Liberal minority, he's going to be dogged about why he called the campaign now. And I think this is something that's not going to go away. So he's going to have to do a much better job of convincing primarily some key people in and around Vancouver, in Ontario, and some key ridings in Ontario, in Quebec, why he deserves to become stay on as Prime Minister and the things he's going to do as Prime Minister to deal with COVID and many of the other economic issues. And so it's interesting to see. Again, Aaron O'Toole speaks French. He did well last night. His first language, of course, is English. It'll be interesting to see how O'Toole does in the English debate and whether Trudeau can repeat his performance that he did last night in the English debate when more people are watching. That could be a game changer for him potentially. But I think this is going to be a minority no matter who wins and a very tight race in the next 2.5 weeks.
It's a long weekend here. What do you think will be discussed around the campfire, around the dinner table as Canadians are hanging out during this long weekend, politically speaking?
Right, and that's going to be interesting. Do they talk about the campaign? Do they talk about why or who they like? What is the new impression that Aaron O'Toole has made? Again, politics is the art of managing expectations, and expectations were very low for Mr. O'Toole going into the campaign. He's exceeded expectations. Now will people consider him to be Prime Minister, and will they want him in charge? Of course, the other interesting campfire conversation is, what do people do if they don't like Aaron O'Toole? Do they give Justin Trudeau another chance, or does Jagmeet Singh start to come into play here? We haven't seen a big surge in Quebec. He has started to pop up a little bit in Ontario and mostly in BC, but he needs to start getting on people's radar in Toronto, in the urban centers, in the GTA, Burlington through to Durham. Can he get on people's radars? And that could be the big game changer here if the NDP can pop up, or do those progressive voters stay with Liberals and say Justin Trudeau deserves a third chance?
CTV's political analyst Jim Warren, thank you. Always nice to delve into politics with you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle. Have a great weekend.
Same to you. And a reminder, you can follow every moment of this campaign as we move toward Election Day on September 20th. Our team is tracking it all at election.ctvnews.ca. After the break, the CNE may be canceled, but the Canadian International Air Show is back this weekend. A preview of the familiar sights and sounds signaling the end of the season.
14 degrees overnight tonight under partly cloudy skies and a nice day on the way tomorrow. A sun cloud mix, a high of 25, feeling like 27. Rain moving in the evening and overnight. And we'll have that to start the day on Sunday with a high of 26, feeling like 31. A little bit of rain on the way for you as well for your Labor Day Monday. But we will see some sun and a high of 23, which is spot on where we should be, seasonal this time of the year. So all in all, it's looking like tonight in through tomorrow are your best days of the weekend weather-wise. I'm going to let you know what you can expect in your full 7-day forecast coming up very soon.
If you're anywhere near the lake this weekend, you'll want to look to the sky. The annual Canadian International Air Show takes place Saturday and Sunday from noon to 3 p.m.
CTV's multimedia journalist Pat Dara caught up with a few of the pilots while their feet were firmly planted on the ground.
It's a big year for us. We're celebrating our 50th season. The snowbird started in 1971, so it being 2021, we're really excited to tour across Canada.
It's super exciting for us. Obviously, the built-up city is not something you see too often when you're doing air shows out at airports and stuff like that. So it's very exciting to be here in Toronto, get a little chance to fly past the CN Tower.
I do loops, rolls, aerobatics, all in the air. We've got some sweet smoke lines. So if it's your first time, come out, check us out. You just come to the shoreline, and we'll have a great display for you guys. We've dedicated the season to our fallen public affairs officer, Captain Jennifer Casey, from last year, who we lost in Operation Inspiration in a flight over Kamloops. We dedicated the whole season to her. We have some maneuvers in the air show that are dedicated to things and interests in her memory. She was a huge Star Wars geek, so we've taken some choice musical contributions from the shows.
It's a fifth-generation stealth aircraft, so the newest jet that we have out there with a lot of upgraded avionics, radar, sensors. During an air show, so high maneuvering, high AOA, and then a little bit of, you know, crowd pleasers like loops and aileron rolls and stuff.
I think you'll probably hear it first, and then a lot of fast maneuvers. We go lower to the ground. We're down to 300 feet, our floor. You're going to see a lot of the aircraft going vertical. As well as just kind of a lot of stuff you wouldn't normally see an airplane do.
It's fun, and there is a 14-kilometer public viewing space running from the Humber Bay Bridge to Billy Bishop Airport, and parking is available on the CNE grounds as well as Ontario Place.
Well, the perfect air show conditions, blue sky, dry. Let's hope that the threat of rain kind of pans out in our favor and it doesn't really happen, Michelle.
Well, Michelle, a little bit better tomorrow than looking ahead to Sunday. We could see a little bit more rain that day because we see rain starting up Saturday overnight in through Sunday. But we'll talk about that coming up. Weather is brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. But yes, perfect weather today for just about anything. Comfortable, sunshine, partly cloudy conditions, a light breeze out there, low humidity. We're sitting at 21 degrees in Toronto right now. So a really great night to get out there and enjoy the conditions. Not as windy as it was yesterday. And tonight's low, 14 degrees in the city of Toronto. So that is just a touch above seasonal for this time of the year. 8 in Peterborough, getting into those single digits already in parts of Cottage Country and a little bit east of the city. 10 degrees if you're in Kingston, 11 for London. So comfortable weather. And that's really the theme as we get through the weekend. We do see a little bit of humidity building back in as we get in, especially into Sunday. But this is how things are looking for tomorrow. So 26 degrees for Welland, feeling like 31. Guelph at 25 degrees, feeling like 29. And we see those temperatures sort of replicated throughout the region. A little bit cooler as you get further to the north. And in Grey Bruce County, areas up towards Muskoka, you could see a little bit more cloud cover earlier in the day because of the advancing system that we do have. And I'll show you how that plays out. Right now, not a lot to show you, but this system is approaching us from the west, and that's going to be a weather maker for us as we get into the next little while, sort of helping to displace the high pressure that we have been seeing. As this frontal system moves through, we also get some more warm, humid air in advance of it. So forecast radar in motion here. You'll see nice clearing as we get into the morning tomorrow. Lots of sunshine for you. You could see a few spotty showers earlier in Cottage Country, and then there we go. As we get into the evening, this is when we see the shower activity really popping up in the Toronto area. even a little bit before 8 o'clock, you could see that up towards Barrie along the shores of the Upper Great Lakes. And that really continues through in through the evening. But once we get into Sunday, you start to see a bit of clearing. So it's definitely not a washout for your Sunday, but there is another system that's approaching from the west that will bring more showers likely overnight and into Monday. So 25 tomorrow, 26 degrees for Sunday. It's going to feel like about 31 for Sunday. You have those showers, but some sunshine later on. For Labor Day, 23 degrees, and that risk of showers as well. That's also what our conditions are like for Tuesday, 23 with showers, and also for Wednesday. Lots of very seasonal temperatures here, and then a little bit cooler for Thursday. A lot of kids starting school that day, so it's going to be a great day with lots of sunshine. Michelle?
Great to hear. Thanks, Michelle. And just ahead, no doubt Drizzy fans have already put it on repeat. Drake's long-awaited album, Certified Loverboy, dropping overnight and dropping records for the number of streams.
On air, online, on every platform.
A story you'll only see here.
CTV News Toronto, winner of the RTDNA Award for Best Breaking News.
Another record has been broken.
Watch weeknights at 6.
There are no doubt a lot of sleepy Drake fans out there after his latest album dropped overnight at 2 a.m.
Certified Lover Boy is already breaking records as we get a glimpse at the first music video.
Whoa. Yeah, I like it crowded. Oh, you like the boy? Well, tell me what you like about him.
Drake dropped the music video for Way Too Sexy, featuring Future and Young Thug. It features Drake in a range of costumes, from a dramatized workout session to appearing in a romance novel, as well as a parody of Rambo and other references. Billboard reports that Drake has already broken Apple Music's 2021 records for the most streamed album and most streamed artist in a single day.
It was a big night on Broadway as the Waitress musical resumed performances in front of a large but masked and vaccinated crowd.
Thank you so much. Now turn off your cell phone.
The audience was cheering even before the curtains came up after a lengthy pandemic closure. The show ended with a special musical tribute to former cast member Nick Cordero, the Canadian Broadway star who died of COVID-19. Cast members performed Cordero's recorded single, Live Your Life, after the show alongside his widow, Amanda Kloos. She also shared a photo of herself on stage in front of a tribute to Cordero named after that song, which will now be a part of every production of Waitress going forward.
Fran Drescher is best known for her leading role in The Nanny, but she's about to take on a much different job. Drescher has been elected the new president of SAG-AFTRA. That's the union representing workers across the TV, radio, and film industries. Drescher told The Hollywood Reporter she is honored to have been elected, and she'll fight for her membership as they face unprecedented challenges during the pandemic.
A piece of art created by Banksy is going back on sale, even though it shredded itself the last time that happened. Then known as Girl with Balloon, the work was sold in October 2018 for $1.7 million. But right after the winning bid, a hidden shredder embedded in the frame left the bottom half in tatters. Well, that incident only increased the value. After a world tour, it's going on sale in London again at 4 times the price.
It looks like Marvel fans aren't hesitating to go and see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings as it releases in theaters.
If you want them to be yours one day, you have to show me you are strong enough to carry them.
The movie brought in around $11 million in Thursday previews before its official release today. Deadline says Shang-Chi looks likely to set a box office record over Labor Day weekend. It tells the story of a martial arts master who's drawn into an ancient conflict. The title character is played by Simu Liu, who grew up in the GTA.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight, TGIF. Let's get the weekend started with an awesome lineup of shows. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
There were two victims of this, one struck by a vehicle and one struck by gunfire.
Updating our top stories, a man is dead following a shooting on Steeles Avenue. Witnesses say a pickup truck struck a construction worker and the driver opened fire, shooting another following a confrontation. The suspect is in custody in connection with this incident.
This is a small, a short prorogation. It will allow us to see who gets the honor to serve. It does not stop the government from continuing to work on important files.
Ontario's legislature is being prorogued until October 4th in an effort to stay out of the way of the federal election campaign. But the opposition says the decision prevents MPPs from working on fine-tuning the province's recently announced vaccine passport system.
We're doing about 30% first dosers even before the announcements came. For it to jump up to 48, that's a significant increase.
The number of first doses being administered at vaccination clinics is on the rise following the province's vaccine passport announcement this week. Close to 44,000 shots were given out yesterday, with nearly half being first doses. Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. On the markets, the Canadian dollar climbed to $79.85 U.S. The price of American benchmark oil fell 70 cents to $69.29 a barrel. And the TSX Composite Index put 26 points on the board to end the day at 20,821. The U.S. economy created far fewer jobs than expected last month in a slowdown blamed on the Delta variant. 235,000 positions were added across the country, around one-third of the amount predicted by economists. Hiring stalled across the leisure and hospitality sector as skyrocketing COVID case counts led to more people staying home. Still, unemployment hit a 17-month low of 5.2%. As analysts say, the U.S. economy is performing well under pandemic challenges.
Coming up, it's official. The NHL will return to the Olympics in Beijing this winter. The negotiations that will now have some of the best on the ice gunning for gold.
Tonight, the pulse of the pandemic fight as we head into the long weekend.
This is a crucial moment.
New warnings as infections surge and Alberta's financial push to get more shots into arms. Later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight, and you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Get Toronto's top stories, breaking news alerts, and watch live. Download the CTV News app.
I'm Zaride Allman. Coming up, crashed vehicles and shots fired, a deadly series of events in North York, the latest on the investigation. Plus, accused of shirking responsibility, why the premier is proroguing legislature until mid-October. We'll see you at 11:30. The summer games are barely over in Tokyo, but the NHL is already making plans for Beijing in 2022.
The league says players will be back on Olympic ice after an agreement was reached with their union. Players were forced to sit out the 2018 games in Pyeongchang, but there will be a break in the NHL's regular season so they can participate in Beijing next year. NHL's deputy commissioner said in a statement, "We understand how passionately NHL players feel about representing and competing for their countries. We are very pleased that we were able to conclude arrangements that will allow them to resume best-on-best competition on the Olympic stage."
Canada's Danielle Doris captured gold at the Tokyo Paralympics today, and that wasn't her only achievement in the pool. The 18-year-old swimmer from Moncton won the 50-meter butterfly, touching the wall in 32.99 seconds. That feat broke her own world and Paralympic records and followed a silver in the 100-meter backstroke. Also today, Canadian sprinter Marissa Papakonstantinou won bronze in the women's 100 meters. Team Canada now has 20 medals at the Paralympic Games, with 2 days of competition remaining.
More to come, hopefully. Okay, Michelle, take us into the long weekend.
It's looking like a pretty good one, especially to start things off, including tonight. Right now, we're sitting at 21 degrees, very comfortable in the city of Toronto, partly cloudy conditions. Just a very light breeze at this time, a little bit of cloud cover out there. As we head into the next 24 hours, expect the best day of the three, I would say, with a fair bit of sunshine and a little bit of humidity. Not too much, a little more warmth, the high of 25 degrees, and we will see showers start to move in
as we get into Saturday evening, a little earlier if you're in cottage country. And then 26 for Sunday, we have those showers. They'll probably give some clearing as we get into the afternoon, and you'll see some sunshine. Then for Labor Day, another round of showers, 23 degrees. Tuesday, Wednesday, a little unsettled at 23. Thursday, a lot of kids back to school that day, 22 degrees, partly cloudy. Friday, 24, and mainly sunny. Back to you, Zoraida.
Thanks, Michelle. And be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, you can watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For our two Michelles and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night. We'll see you at 11:30.
Good night.